Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 2016 LFC AEN Ordination Weekly Training Meeting. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette, and we are going to get right into our session. We need a prayer. So if there is a gentleman on the line, we like to open prayer with the head, that Christ, the head of the church, and men are our lead. And so we would ask that if there is a I'm not able to check the numbers today, so I'm kind of going a little I will depend on you guys. So if we can have one of the gentlemen on the line open us up in prayer. Amen. We should have Pastor Bond on the line.
Eternal God, we thank you, Lord God, for your many blessings. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. Lord God, we pray that, Lord God, as we come together, Lord God, we'll be edified, Lord God. We pray that information that we receive today, Lord God, that we will take it and we will go according to the things that has been instructed, the things that you have planned for us, Lord God. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Bond. I will honor everyone as put on live. Excuse me, on live. So it would be put your phones on mute unless you are going to be sharing this evening, because I have all the lines open. And so I ask you to put your phones on mute unless you will be sharing this evening. We do have Minister Sherita on the line. And Minister Sherita, if you will share with the candidates and their partners what has been sent out to everybody at this point. Minister Sherita?
Yes. Actually, there was a reminder email that went out, I believe it was on Monday, and we're asking for the written requirements. Actually, they were due on yesterday. And those written requirements was, what ministry has God called you to? Define this calling based on scripture. Identify and write a review of all scriptures and any supporting resources that define your role and your specific calling and qualifications for that calling. How will your ministry look? Who, where, and how you are called to serve, your mission statement, your vision statement, the relational intimacy questionnaire form, and the emotional status form. And those two, the relational intimacy questionnaire form and the emotional status form, were actually attached to the email as well. And as for today, the presenters that are going to be presenting this week's scripture are Evangelist Siobhan Hosey and Evangelist Julia Johnson on non-judgmental, which is found in Matthew 7, 1 through 2, and Minister Patricia Wright and Brother Dominique Carter on active listeners, James 1:19.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Minister Sherita. So we will open the floor to Minister Pat and Brother DeMont. They will be presenting one of the elements of accountability partner, that element of being an active listener. And this active listener, this element of accountability partner, the characteristic of an active listener is found in James 1, verse 1, chapter 1, and the 19th verse. So if you guys would lead us off by sharing that scripture and then sharing with us how that particular element will as it's displayed in accountability partner relationship, how that would benefit the candidate, and what would happen if it's missing or neglected? It is open to the two of you.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. My phone is still muted. Hold on one moment. Okay. I will be sharing. I will do a few scriptures related to James. My phone is acting up. Okay. James 1:19, and it says, okay, I'm just do it from the computer side of that.
Sure.
Okay. I'm just going to read it from the computer then. James 1:19 states, New International Version, my dear brother and sister, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And in the Message Bible, it states, on the computer. Post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger struggle along in the rear. And the last one is from the Amplified Bible. That I had read those three. Let's pull that up again. And from the Amplified Bible, it states, understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And when I was reading in the Amplified, to be quick listeners, meaning be a careful, thoughtful listener. To be slow to speak is a speaker of carefully chosen word. And to slow to anger is patient, reflective, and forgiving. And I think all that relates as accountability partner to be a good listener. And when it says quick listener, in the dictionary it states rapid and speedily, meaning listen in that order, fast and speediless. And then when it says swift, to hear right away, suddenly, ready and alert. And then slow to anger, hold back or delay your anger. And as a good listener, I have found to be an active listener, it's just to close your mouth and let your ears, we have two ears and only one mouth. So in that respect, we have more ears where we can listen more than to open our mouth and speak. And it's like taming the tongue. And one more thing was when we talk too much and we listen too little, we communicate to others that we think our ideals are much more important than theirs. So James, in the, he wisely advised us to reverse this process. We have to put on a mental stopwatch on our conversation and keep track of how much we talk and how much you listen. And your, our listening must be more than we talk. And when people talk with you, do they feel that their viewpoints and their ideals have value? These verses speak of anger that erupts when our egos are bruised. And if we're not a good accountability partner, we can hurt others by being angry, ascending in our anger. Our opinions are not to be heard all the time. We have to sometimes hold back our opinions and just allow someone to let out what they're feeling. And sometimes by us holding back and letting them speak what is on their mind and not saying anything, it can solve so much and it can resolve the issue. But if we, and it takes two to argue, so it takes two to become angry. So if we silence ourselves, then the other person can be heard, and then they can even, maybe as they talk it out, they can realize that, you know what, now it's not that important, that my opinion, my viewpoint. But we should not become angry when we fail to win an argument or when we feel offended or neglected. So we shouldn't have selfish anger because that don't help anyone. So as accountability partner, we have to listen. We have to be quick to be listeners. And sometimes it's not what the person is saying, it's what they're not saying. We have to, when we listen, we are hearing, and then that is giving that person a chance to just vent what their feelings are. And then we don't have to be offended by what they're saying because the word was corrected. And I always have something on my refrigerator that I read, especially sometimes when I might feel I need to say something, but the Holy Spirit leading me to be quiet. And it says, before you talk, listen. And before you react, think. And before you criticize, wait. And before you praise, forgive. And before you quit, Q-U-I-T, try. So, and that before you talk, you must listen. So we must listen. We must not react so quickly, but think about what we're going to say and think about if what we're saying might hurt someone else. And we don't want to be we're hurting people. We to go silently before God and pray and intercede and as an accountability partner. And we're there to just walk with them. And the most important part of that whole scripture in James 1:19 is to be a good, quick listener. And so that was some of the information I had. I had more on my phone, but it won't act right. But that's a few points.
All right. Amen. Amen. Is Brother DeMont on the line? Dominic, I'm sorry. Brother Dominic? Evangelist
Overseer,
Colby?
I haven't been able to reach you.
Okay.
This is Evangelist Colby. Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay. He's not on the line.
All right.
We're in transition of moving and doing some things, but he is aware of tonight's session. So I don't know if he has his brother's phone, but I don't believe he's on the line.
Okay.
Because
Evangelist Hosey?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, you're up next.
Okay, not a problem. I was given
I was given non-judgmental, and that was Matthew 7, the first and the second verse. And it says, King James, I'm reading from the King James Version, and it says, mm-hmm. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And what I received from that, it was, because I think this is a big issue, and I thank God that I was given this. So I went into some deep studying on my own, and I'm still studying it. But what really got me is because a lot of people use the word do not judge. And I think that we misuse the word do not judge, even in the body. We use it even to, you know, cover up. We use it to masquerade. And that part alone of this scripture, I found it to become twisted and perverted. Because what I've received from this is judge not. And what we've done is that we've used it so that people, how can I say this? It's like judging is forbidden, and that's not true. That's not true. But what the scripture is just simply telling us is that that we have to be careful that we don't use it and look at our motive behind it. Look at our motive behind it, and don't use it to overexert ourselves. Don't use it to make us look better than what we are. And what the scripture is just simply saying is that don't begin to call judgment on others when your sin is still, your sin is greater, or sin is, you're still sinning, and you haven't taken a look at it at your own. And this scripture is just simply telling us that we can't do that. We can't use this to justify our own and try and as that scripture goes a little bit under that, you know, pulling the plank out of someone else's eye, and you haven't pulled the plank out of your own. And what God is saying is that you have permission to judge righteously, but don't use it to judge wrongly. When you haven't even taken a look at your own self, and you haven't decided to allow God to do things in you that you're trying to pull out of someone else. And there was one more thing that I received from that. I wrote it down. Here it is. I went to John 7:24. John 7:24 said, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment, because God is, you know, clearly giving us that clearance to help our brother or our sister become better. But when you're not willing to become better yourself, you can't do that. We all have a responsibility as the body of Christ to make judgment in order to help our brother and our sister and help them come out of sin. We've been Amen. Given that clearance, and we also have a responsibility as well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Is Elder Deborah on the line?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, amen. This is
I
your baby.
I did get on a little late, but I am on the line. Yes.
Oh, amen. So, do you have questions for the presenters this evening?
I don't know whether I have questions. Maybe an observation, and then maybe a comment
okay.
on that. I did hear part of Minister Pat's presentation. But on this last one, under Matthew's, with the evangelist Hosey, with Matthew 7:1-2, my observation would be, and I agree exactly what she was saying, that the scripture doesn't tell us when it says don't judge, but, you know, don't judge unless you understand it the same way that, you know, you judge, the same judging will come back. But I just wanted to make the point that we can be, when I say we, I mean accountability partners. Accountability partners are in a unique position because we want you to be accepting of the individual, but still use your discernment of whatever the situation is. And so, you know, there was a way to love and be accepting of someone without necessarily embracing their situation, because of the, you know, we are trusting the Holy Spirit to make keen our sense of discernment, so that we will know how to pray, how to counsel, how to converse, you know, with those kinds of things. And that same position is also as far as listening. You know, the whole idea to be to lead with your ears as opposed to with your mouth. You know, to not necessarily say the first thing that comes to mind, because I think just our tendency, our human tendency, sometimes will allow us to say things that later on in conversations, maybe not in that conversation, we wish we had held our tongue because we find out what's really going on. A lot of times it takes a while before people's true heart is shown in these relationships. So as trust and support is being built, you know, I would just encourage on both sides, but certainly with the accountability partners, to listen and to give space and truly be slow to speak and quick to hear and listen. And everything doesn't have to be addressed every time. You know, truly let the Holy Spirit lead you in your, you know, in your counsel and in your conversations.
Amen. Amen. Now, we know that all of you are on the line. Again, you're all live. And we all ought to be studying all of these elements. So if you have a comment or something else to add or a question, please feel free to do so. This is all a part of your training, and so we do want to hear from you. We want to hear feedback. We want to hear input, and these are the things that help us to not judge, but to see where you are and how comfortable and how confident you are in your sharing and in your caring and your listening. An active listener, which I thought was an excellent term, to be an active listener, is to have input. It is to give feedback to what someone is saying, not just listening and just not saying anything, but actually giving input into what they're saying, actually being involved in the conversation. And so we want you to be active listeners as well on the line. And the way we know you're active is if someone says something. We don't all have to say all the time, but at some point there should be something that someone wants to interject or a concern you have or a question you have or just seeking clarity or just giving insight that your studies have brought into this. And so you are free to do so, and I don't want to pause too long, and if I'm speaking like now and you have something to say, just say it, okay, because I understand people get off of, you know.
Overseer, can I just ask you, Minister Pat, James 1:19 out of the Message, I know she loves the Message, I guess I could be asking her on the line as well, but since you were speaking, did she read that out of the Message?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, she did.
Okay. I wasn't on the line when that happened. I was just going to share that. But,
okay.
But that is great. I was just going to say that the Message, you know, talks about our righteous indignation. And sometimes I think that when people are being elevated, that there have been situations where there is a righteous indignation where somebody might share with an accountability partner, and the accountability partner is kind of taken aback by possibly what the candidate is sharing. And I think it is just so important that we don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought, you know, and,
yeah,
and
yeah,
remember
yeah.
that we all fall short. So, no,
amen.
But I just wanted to make sure that that had been read in the message.
Yes, absolutely, yes. Anyone else?
Yes, Overseer.
Yeah.
This is Elmer.
Mr. Katie.
Oh, hello. Someone else speaking. They can go first.
Yes.
Oh.
Go ahead, Minister.
Okay.
With
regard to the listening and the scriptures that were read on judgment, and I'll give the one on judgment first. What I found in my own study, and I'm not exactly sure at what point the Holy Spirit revealed this truth to me regarding my own self. I find that the thing that that is being pointed out or shown to me with regard to someone else that I would tend to want to judge, I first have to judge why I'm seeing it. Because, number one, is it something that I've gone through, you know, that the Lord has taught me something regarding? Or am I seeing it because it's something that needs to be worked on within myself? So before I can judge whatever is happening with the other person, I have to first judge myself, which is what that scripture was talking about. Judge myself first, you know, to see if it's somewhere, if it's a place that Holy Spirit has already schooled me on, and is wanting to maybe show me something else, or
amen.
If it's something new that's never been shown to me. That he's wanting to show me something with regard to that and not necessarily something for me to jump on the other person for or judge them for. And then with regard to the listening portion of it, with this unique set of giftings that he's placed within me, a part of the listening with regard to the two ears that she was talking about, listening twice, one of it for me is a spiritual listening.
Uh-huh.
And hearing what the person is asking, but also hearing what the Holy Spirit is revealing before you can give an active answer to any question. So it is listening twice. Listening twice as hard to the question and what's being revealed behind the question, because sometimes the question really isn't what needs to be answered. It's the spirit behind it that needs to be addressed as opposed to the current question. So I wanted to point those two things out, which was something that Holy Spirit revealed to me at some point. I'm not even exactly sure what study I was doing at the time that they were revealed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Is there another?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Say your name.
All right. This is Bishop.
Yes, Bishop.
And so what I wanted to add it to it, active listening says to me that, because it's interesting, you just did an example of active listening. When you did example of it, you wanted feedback from the rest of us. Active listening says to me that the person that has an issue sitting in front of you or that you're talking to wants to make sure that they're being heard. They want to make sure that the other person that is listening to them is, you know, giving them that feedback, because that's actually where the judgment comes in. People are saying things to you, and then you're just looking at them, and then it's like they start to feel judged, so they hold back or they don't give all that information. So active listening says, we also have to have a stamina, a physical stamina to be able to address the issue that is at hand. And we also have to have the judgment of honesty to say, you know what, I'm listening to what you're saying, and based off of how or what's going on with me, I'm not equipped at this moment to address the issue. Can we table this and come back, or can I refer you out? And so active listening says all of that. I'm listening to God. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to myself. And I'm making a judgment upon what is the appropriate move that I should move forward with. That's just what I wanted to add to it.
That is superb.
Hear me? Yeah. Can you hear
yes.
me? Okay,
yes.
Elder Yvette. And mine is kind of yes. similar to what Bishop just said, and in that I see three things there. It is the listening, the anger, it talks about the wrath, and the speaking. So you want to listen in a sense that you want to hear what they're saying, but not only just hear the words that are coming out, but in hearing the tone as well. As he said, it may be something coming that you don't know where you it's okay to say, well, I can't answer that now. But also I think it's important for you not to jump to wrath, anger, and begin to speak, because out of anger you are irrational. So you don't want to speak out of anger, because then that leads to a problem. You say things that shouldn't have been said. The other thing is, if the person is bringing it to you, and they may be totally wrong or they may be out of order, but if they are angry and they're talking, this is not the best time. So in a sense, in listening, then you could just let them go through and say, you know, I heard what you said. I understand. But I think it's better if we talk about this or settle this at a later time, because at that time I think possibly too they could be irrational.
Amen. Anybody else? This is good interaction, because I guess what we're trying to do, and you may think, you know, why are we beating this dead horse? It's not dead, it's very much alive. But more than that, it's going to be an important element in your ministry, because in your ministry, you're partnering with people. In your ministry, you're going to be accountable to God. And so this accountability partner relationship is not a vague something, okay, it's a requirement, let me call, let me do it, and be done with it. No, it is very valuable. It is how we are able to assist each other in doing what we're doing and why we're doing it, and that's so that the body can be edified and God glorified. And so we want to be able to build our communication and a comfort level of our association with one another, which is why you don't necessarily have someone that you know is your partner. And so this stretches us. It stretches us in our relationship so that we can get a confidence in Christ, and we exercise our relationship with the Holy Spirit so that we are spirit-led. We are spirit listeners, and we respond spiritually according to what heaven is requiring of us. And so this is why we want this study to be pervasive throughout your training, and we did put a lot of time into it today. But one of the things that we were talking about today is your gifts, your calling, and we were going to look at the personality results and just very briefly introduce them in your process. Now, all of these things will be dealt with, I think, in a lot more detail during the conference when you're in your track, your orientation training preparation track, at the conference in August. And but this is just a summary introduction so that you can then start processing it and studying for it, seeing it in the things that you've been required to do, because they may seem like they're disconnected, but they're all very, very connected. And Holy Spirit will show you how he's knitting all of these pieces together so that when you stand and you are dressed, you will understand what heaven is doing and what heaven has been doing in your lives. And so we are giving this airtime. We are looking forward next week to the teams of LaShawn, Sister LaShawn, and Minister Helen, Deacon Melvin, and Pastor Lattimore. Sister Shawan and Minister Helen will be bringing on wise counsel, and Deacon Melvin and Pastor Lattimore on companionship. These are all very valuable elements, not just in accountability, but also in your ministry and in your walk. Are there any questions or comments? A lot of you have not, I'll repeat, have not submitted everything that has been required of you as of yesterday. Those that have contacted me, that's not a problem. Those that have not, it is. And so you need to contact me. If you have not sent me everything, you need to contact me. If you have, you're good, okay? And so we want to, the gift assessment and the personality testing that you took, these are very valuable tools in understanding, first of all, yourselves and then those that you will minister to and with, as well as what God is requiring. I know that there are those on the line, Bishop, and those that are at Laborers for Christ that has gone through this study from Hope Outreach Ministry as it was presented to us by the Apostle Dr. Sylvester Brinson III, the dean of that college. And it is a presentation of the gifts and a summary, and we're only giving you very, very few summary information as it relates, and Bishop can help with the 16 personality tests, just because I don't know if when you took the test, there was a lot of information that you were given after you finished, and we're hoping that you save that information and you'll look at it very thoroughly and you'll come to value and understand who God has created you to be and how he has created you to respond to him, yourself, and your environment. And so we realize that the gifts and calling there are three categories of gifts. And all three groups are different. Group number one is, and I'm just by order, not by importance, but and so I will call it group number one, but the manifestation gifts, that's found in 1 Corinthians. Someone get that for me, 1 Corinthians and the 12th chapter. It is ninefold. These are the gifts that are given to us from Holy Spirit. I have, the three categories are manifestation, as I said, and that's 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then there are the ministry gifts. They're given to us by Jesus Christ. That is found in Ephesians 4 and 11 and 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. These are ministry gifts. And then there are motivation gifts. They are given to us by the Father. And it's found in Romans 12, 6 through 8. Now, the manifestation gifts, I'm sorry, the motivation, make sure I get this right. Yeah. The motivational gifts. The motivational gift. Well, now I'm turning the page and I'm losing my page. But the gifts of, not the motivational, they're the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's nine. God has given his people nine mighty gifts of the Holy Spirit to enable them to mature spiritually, edify others, and do the work of the ministry. Although these gifts of God are perfect, the manifestation of these gifts are sometimes not so perfect because they are manifested through an perfected channel of men and women. These gifts are broken up into three parts. There's the revelation gifts, gifts that reveal something. That's the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirit. Then there's the power gifts, gifts that do something, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. And then there are the inspirational gifts, gifts that say something, prophecy, diverse tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are, Paul defines these as supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit at work through the believer. No one can dictate when this gift is to be operated. The Holy Spirit is the source and the one in charge of the gift, working through an available and expected vessel, and that would be you. We then have the ministry gifts, the gifts given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. These gifts were given to the church. Administer the needs of the church. The term administration comes from the Greek word dokumen, from which we get other English word, the English word of deacon. This word relates to the ministries and outreach of the local church. These gifts, as shown in Ephesians 4, 11, and 2 Corinthians 12 and 28, are important in ensuring that the motivational and the manifestational gifts are being applied in the body of the church. These gifts are confirmed by ordination. These gifts are the fivefold of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They are not titles, they are functions, the office and the work thereof. The purpose of them is to enable the believer to do the work of the ministry so that the body on earth can function as God's true representative. Therefore, these gifts are not the possessions or things that belong to us. Rather, they are believers who are gifted to be the equippers of the rest of the body of Christ. So we see through all of these definitions and interpretations, it is available to us, through us, in us, for the service, for service, for service. And then we have the manifestation gift, gift of ministry, and then we have the motivational gifts. These are gifts given to us by God. And this is found in Romans 12, 6 through 8. These gifts are sevenfold, the gifts of prophecy or a perceiver, a server, a teacher, an exhorter, encourager, a giver, administrator, leader, mercy, and compassion. These are the God-given gifts to us. They're given to us or built into us and made part of us to be used for the benefit of others and for God's glory. These gifts are the gifts that shape our personality, and we're only given one, basically, of these motivational gifts. These are the gifts that this is the gift releases your personality into your ministry. These gifts can be used for good or for bad. So you are, when you are born, you are born with this motivational gift in you. And there is a mirage of scripture that tells us how marvelously and wonderfully we are formed. The gifts of the Father are from the Greek word gift is, I'm looking at charisma, which comes from the word car, meaning joy. is a Greek word for gift, for grace, which is God given us the desire and power to do his will. The term motivation is simply defined as the work of God's grace. God's grace is at work in us from the moment of our birth. There's only one dominant motivational gift, and that is so that we can thus nurture and develop this gift. These gifts, the gift of the Father has given to us, the gift of servant, the gift of giver, teacher, and I know that you've heard some of the same terminologies in some of the other categories, but we need to understand their differences, because you can be an exhorter or an encourager and you're not even saved. And that may all your life, that may have been how people would have defined you. That's because that's what was built into your DNA. And I don't care good or bad, that's what you will always be, because that's what he had created you. You know, before the foundation of the world, you were given certain gifts, the gift of mercy. You may have always been a compassionate person. And this is not having the gift of compassion that is given through the Holy Spirit, but rather this is the gift that's given to you from God. Bishop, jump in anytime.
Amen. That sounds really good.
I love you too.
Really?
And I know for the people, this may seem a lot. We want to go back. I wanted to just give the three categories, the manifestation gifts, the motivational gifts, and the ministry gifts. And then our bishop did a wonderful study even at Labor's. And when you read the scriptures, and we'll have someone read 1 Corinthians 12 and then someone reading Romans 12, 6 through 8. And then the other is Ephesians 4 and 11.
And obviously I was just going to simply add before they begin reading that,
yes,
you know, the reason for the spiritual gifts and the personality assessment, it's not really for others, but it's really for us individually so that you can understand how you operate. Somehow the body of Christ has gotten into an era where we feel, I don't like people, I don't mind doing the church work, but I don't like messing with his people. Where do you get that from? That's a straight lie from hell, because I don't understand if John 3:16 says, if God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, if God loved the world, how the heck do you like doing ministry for God but don't like his people? That doesn't make sense. And if Jesus has given these functions, the apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, to the body, well, then Jesus is saying, I want you to tend to my wife. So how the heck do you not like who my wife is? If I'm asking you to tend to her, if you're saying you love me, then you have to love my wife. You have to love my body. You know. And so these personality tests and these spiritual gifts shows you how you are made up. The personality assessment shows you what you look like to other people. This is how you are responding. And, you know, folk kill me when they be like, you know, I pass these personality tests. I don't pay attention. I just blow through them. That's stupid. Don't do that. Answer them honestly, because it shows you if you blow through them without consideration, and I'm not saying dwell on them, but if you're, like, taking it lightly, then most likely you're probably taking the ministry that you do likely. Therefore, Christ's wife is suffering, and suffering violently because we are taking it lightly. And so look at yourself. It's not saying this is who you are. It's not diagnosing you. It's just saying right now, this is how you respond. And there can be some growth. There can be some change as the Holy Spirit will begin to release. I mean, how many spiritual people we got that's hoarding all the wonderful things God wants them to share? You know, it's ridiculous. The body's not being edified. So that's what I just wanted to say.
You know, Overseer? This is Bonds. If you don't mind me saying something, that also that as God processes us, as we're going through this process of to becoming what he had ordained for us to walk in before the foundation of the world, is that know that as we're going into that place, understand why the warfare exists, because he's perfecting us. And even as far as us listening and us making judgment, not only us listening, actively listening to other people, but actively listening to him. And then not only that, but when he speaks to us, for us not to get angry with him concerning the things that he's speaking to us about concerning where he's taking us to. So as we look at these gifts, some of us have not operated in these gifts yet, and we are walking into that place. Understand that God is imparting part of himself for us to do the work of the ministry that he has called us to walk into.
Yes, I am. Sorry. Yes. I wanted to add to what Bishop has said and Pastor has said, and to realize that we all don't have all these gifts. And one of the things that Bishop shared was, you know, you say, well, you know, I don't deal with God's people, or it's difficult or whatever. And sometimes that's because we don't know who we are. And there are some things we are not anointed to do. But the reason God has given all of us, thank you, the reason God has given all of us these variety of gifts and combinations and giftings and motivational things that drive our lives, the forces behind our life, is because we have to depend on each other. And so
Amen.
We have to fit it together so that that portion that I'm to do, I'll say, as a person who is just a born teacher, whether I'm teaching in public school or Kingdom Church, I'm a born teacher, even though I wasn't born to teach in school. I just wanted to add that. But just a teacher by nature. So that means that by nature, by DNA. And so as a result, there are some things that if you are a born server, that's just your DNA, you weren't born to teach. So you serve a teacher. You see how then we get together, and then we become a more powerful entity. And then I was the person that's a giver that was born to give, not with the anointing of giving, but was born to the thing that motivates your passion and your love. If you are a giver and you're giving, then you need to be hooked up with a person that's a server. They want to serve. They got to have something to serve. So you see how a server may not be a giver, but a server may not have it. And so all of these things, that the giver may need the person that has the gift that was born an administrator so that the giving is decent and in order. And then that administrator needs that person that just was born to be a compassionate, merciful person to help flavor and to color how the administration is done. And so many times it's because we're taking on roles that are not ours to take on. If you're an introverted person, that's the personality part. This will help me if I'm getting the different characteristics backwards or whatever. But if you're an introverted person, that means you're not comfortable. You're not used to, it's not your personality to be around people. You may be a perceiver. You're someone that sits and watches. You don't get involved, and yet they become useful in as an observer of speaking a word to a person that's in the midst of teaching. And so all of these things will give clarity, and actually it'll give more empowering to us as our, we won't be as weary because our soul won't be trying to take on roles that we weren't born to take on. Now, there are things that we were born again and then given by Christ and then brought to ordainment as it relates to those ministry gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, and we would just, you know, the deacon, and we understand those I don't want to call the wrong thing, those offices. Yes. They're not titles, they're functions. Yes.
I just kind of had a question here. And listening to you talk about that, so my thought ran to possibly maybe that this is what happened between Paul and Barnabas, that there was not that understanding of how to really come together to work.
Yes.
Although they were both very gifted and in this, but it was different things, so they didn't get the understanding of how to work it together.
What? You know, and that's a wonderful observation because I think what that reveals to us, they may not have had the 16personalityww.com to go to, okay? But they followed the Holy Spirit. And so they wrote, no, you know, we got to separate. We can't do this. And so they learned how to position themselves with the right ministry partner, with the right spiritual friend, with the right accountability partner. They learn because they listen to the Holy Spirit. And so that is such a perfect example. And so it's no need of getting mad at other never speaking to you again. Yeah. No, you know what, I'll take him, you go there and I go here. No, okay. Because but God knows the fields are ripe for the harvest. And so we just
Amen.
Need to know are to be laid, and the Bible says, know those you labor among. It's for a reason. Know they're not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So even the person that was, it was, they were born to be a teacher, we have to make sure that that teacher DNA in them is now going to be transformed by the truth of God so that their teaching will not be heresy, but rather it will be prophetic. And it'll be according to Holy Spirit, who is the ultimate. And so we need to know that these things exist because I think they will answer questions for you. Because you may say, well, I just feel more comfortable talking to JoJo, okay, or Pastor Jim. I just feel more comfortable. And it may be because of the anointing on their life, the motivational gift that's in their DNA, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the gift of wisdom, of gift of knowledge, of faith, is what they're drawing from. But I guess the important thing is for us first to know that these things exist, to know that they have a different function, that all of the functions are equal in the sight of God, that all of them are necessary for the edifying of the body and giving glory to God. And when it appears that it is missing, then it is opportunity for us to step back and then examine. Okay, what is this? I think this was the most powerful tool of the personality, and not that it's an end-all for all, but it's just a good indication of the fact that there's some people you just don't team up together because personality, they're not even intended, you know, to mesh without, you know, miracles, signs, and wonders. And so that's how they knew, that's how the first church grew, because that what followed them was the manifestation gifts of miracles, signs, and wonders. and prophecy, because they made a difference because they were united in understanding, as Elder Yvette brought out, of who to run with, you know, which two needed to be come together, two or three coming together, in order for the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, to manifest himself in correct or in accuracy, or not accuracy, but represented correctly through them, not distorted through their imperfectness. And that's the thing that brings the church to maturity and the saints to maturity. So we need to know what is the motivating force in our lives, and not to not to deny it or to say, well, I don't want to be like that, because some things you can't change. If that's how God made you, that's pretty much how you're going to be. I don't care what kind of surgery you get. Okay, so we do want to make sure that we acknowledge, you know, and first of all, find out, who did he create you to be? Look back over your life. What is the one single force that always stood out in your personality, in the thing that you were graced to do? There's some people that are graced to work in emergency room setting in the inner city. They're just graced to do it. There's some people, don't take them there. They don't have that grace. Okay, and so there are certain things they're just graced to do. They may be graced to teach those nurses and doctors in the ER setting, but they're not graced to actually work there. And so we just need to know, you know, who we were created to be, and then use that to motivate the anointing and the gifting that Christ gave us for the church, so that we will edify church. And then as we surrender to that, which is why you may have a major two or three high scores in your gift assessment, but then you'll have others supporting you, because they're the ones that help give definition to the kind of teacher that you will be. Okay, you may have teaching as your DNA, and then a teacher and a pastor is your gifting, and may be given the gift of faith, wisdom, and knowledge, okay? And so those are the things that we want to be able to look at and identify, at least within ourselves, questions and comments?
I'm sorry, I'm going. Yes, ma'am.
Was that you saying something, Bishop?
No, that wasn't me.
Okay. Okay. Well,
and
we have come. Yes.
Those are things that will come out in, like, the gift assessment testing, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Along with,
yes,
Holy Spirit revealing to you, too.
I'm sorry, say that again.
As well as the Holy Spirit giving it to you.
Yes. And that's something that we would like to do when everybody turns their paperwork in, and we're going to have a cover sheet for each one of our candidates. And on that cover sheet, we're going to summarize all of your information. And then when we're in our track at the conference, we'll do some role-playing based on the results of your gift assessment and your personality test. And so we can, and your the office that you're being ordained into, so that you can get an even more, what is customized view of those that are being, like, say, for instance, ordained as an evangelist or a pastor. Like, what kind of pastor am I to be? Helping to answer that question, who has God created to hear you? And you can just, if you go back over your life and as you answer these questions, you will start to see a pattern. You'll start to see, oh, yeah, you know what? I guess this does make sense. You know, I can see this being the next step in the progression of my spiritual walk, because all my life, this have been a part of it. From the being, maybe you were a leader with your in your school, you were popular, people followed you, they listened to you. Or were you the one that they always called on when they had a problem, and because you had a way about you, or if you will, it was part of your motivation to be an encourager or a support. That's just what you did. Or were you the one people always wanted to be the treasurer because you wrote real good? You know, the secretary, you wrote real good, you kept real good notes. So you were valuable in those areas. And then how that progressed along the way from, you know, school to college to life to service to family. There are some in your family that you wouldn't, that you would, put it that way. If there was a need, there are certain people in the family that they're the financial. They just think right as it relates to money. They're good administrators, and that's where you would go, you know. And so these are things that we need to know so that we can do that as a body. Know who we should be, knit it together. Pastor had a training with puzzle pieces. And on the puzzle pieces, different things were written. And then it's like, who is your puzzle piece connected to? And then as you wrote down who you were and pointing on your life, and you saw who you were connected to, then you could see how ministry should look. There's some things, like Bishop said, I'm not even going to try to answer. I'm going to tell you, call Bishop. Okay, and there's some things that, you know, I'm going to tell you. You talk to Pastor Marnette. That's the person with the heart biggest in the world, okay? And so there are just different things and different people that have been given different graces so that they're present when those graces are needed, so that they're available for God to use to distribute his graces to his people, so that they can mature and they can grow in him and glorify him. Okay? Questions, comments, insights, input?
Overseer, this is Elder Deborah. I just wanted to say, this is the last section that you just shared with us has been incredibly insightful. I was sitting here just trying to scribble notes, and then I thought about it's archived. I would suggest that not only the candidates but the accountability partners, because sometimes, you know, we don't get it on the first go-round, and being having been a candidate and an accountability partner multiple times on both sides, there are just things and nuggets that are revealed every time. And as you were talking about, the three levels of gifts, the motivational gifts coming from God the Father, and I'm looking at all these linkings of the partnership, and then I think it was it Elder Yvette that came in and was talking about the Timothy and Barnabas not being able to get together. But when you were speaking of the motivational gifts, those gifts like serving and teaching and encouragement and those kinds of things needing to be linked up with someone who was had a different gift, you know, the complementary gift, I think it speaks to the whole process that a lot of times when the Lord elevates us, we feel like lone rangers. You know, it's so awesome to know that God would use you, that sometimes it feels overwhelming that, of course, I need it to be moving, you know, straightforward immediately, like Mark, you know, just going out doing my thing. But this whole idea of the partnership and how one gift will serve others, when you were talking about a teacher needs a server and a server might need a giver and a giver, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, and a giver might need an administrator to just keep things in line. I think that just speaks to how all of these things just tie in. Even the scriptures that are going to be dealt with next week, just companionship and wise counsel, knowing that, you know, that we do need to link up, and that just looking at the ninefold gifts from the Holy Spirit, you know, the fivefold, you know, ministry gifts for the church, and then the sevenfold motivational gifts from God the Father. You know, it's really awesome. You're going to make me go back and look up my gift assessment and personality assessment, because I think that, you know, the more I hear it, and as we grow and are outside of the trappings of being in the process, the ordination and elevation process. So I would encourage my brothers and sisters who have been through the process to maybe go back and look at some of this stuff and see what the Lord would say, because it can be overwhelming when you're in the midst. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And as you were speaking, Elder Deborah, I was also reminded, you know, even for accountability partners as well as for the committee, to do that as well and get your summary page, because you may find, and sometimes that's the error we make, because we mess sometimes with people and we think we're forming a friendship, and that's not what it is. We're meshing because we're supposed to be fitted together in the spirit. And then when we try to transition, and sometimes it does work, but when we try to go beyond that and it becomes in the flesh, then it loses some of its power. And so we have to really be true to what God wants. And I'm not saying that we're not supposed to have friends among one another. That is not what I'm saying. But I think that's where church hurt comes from, you know, because we take it beyond. If we leave it where Holy Spirit would have it be, it will be there powerfully forever. And we will learn the true benefit of what a friend is. And always remember, a friend is someone who is willing to lay down his life for you. And so as a result, you know, we want to change our thinking. Renew, as the bishop is teaching us, renew our thought process and get a new database of scripture to base everything off of, so that when we look at our life experiences and situations and challenges, we'll look at it from a God's eye view. And when you look at it from a God's eye view, all this stuff don't look like much, you know, because he is high and lifted up, and we're up there with him. And so I would like to end the session with the reading of the three gifts categories, the first being the gifts of the Father from Romans 12, 6 through 8, the motivational gifts. Would someone read that, please? Just jump in there loud and do it.
Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or
amen.
Did you want 8 too?
Yeah.
Or that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
Amen.
Romans 6 through 8.
And that is the fivefold gift given to us by God. Now the ministry gifts given to us by the Son, Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4 and 11, and 1 Corinthians 12 and 28.
Okay, Ephesians 4 and 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You said Ephesians 4:11?
Yes.
Oh, I read too far. Okay. And 1 Corinthians.
That's okay.
1
Corinthians
12. 12, beginning
yes.
at 12?
12:28.
Okay. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues.
Amen. Amen.
And then we have 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, gifts of the Holy Spirit, those manifestation gifts.
1 Corinthians 12, 7 through what?
11.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will.
Amen. These are the nine gifts. 11. These are the nine gifts given to the church through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. These nine gifts are divided into three sets. The revelational gifts, gifts that reveal something, the power gifts, gifts that do something, and then the inspirational gifts, gifts that say something. And so we praise God for clarity and better understanding of who we are in Christ and what he has done to bring us to a place of victory and glory for the Father and for the kingdom. And so is Pastor Jeff on the line? And close us out.
Yep. Hello.
Okay. Yes. Yep. Yes, sir. So you can pray us out.
Father God, we just thank you. We bless you. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory and we give you honor, Lord. And you have all dominion and power, Heavenly Father, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for just your anointing that you have just placed on each and every individual on this line, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you for the gifts, Lord, the many gifts that you have in the body, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you have created literally a team of people, oh, Heavenly Father, for the building up and edifying of your kingdom, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. We just thank you and we just bless and pray that each gift, Lord, is just, you would just use each person with their gift and their anointing, Lord, that you have called them to do, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, just the building up, Lord, to just not just to walk around like puffed up head, Lord, that we got this title or this calling or this anointing, Lord, but that we could go out into the world, Heavenly Father, and tell of your goodness, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, for building up of your kingdom, Lord, for a lost generation, Lord, of people who do not know you, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would just use us, oh, Heavenly Father, for your glory, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time on the line, oh, Heavenly Father, the discussion, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. We pray that you would be with each and every individual throughout the week, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. Oh, we thank you for this Father Day's weekend that's coming up, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. We bless each and every father on the line, Lord, everyone that has a father, Lord, and those who have lost fathers, Lord, over the years, oh, Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would touch and comfort each and every individual, Lord, that has lost a loved one or a father, Lord, over the years, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. We just pray now, Lord, you be with us now, Lord, as we lead the phone line and each and every family that's represented, Lord, now and forevermore, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Good night. Do be blessed. Amen.
Amen.